The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Glory to God. This morning, I'll just start a teaching today and finish it on Thursday. So the service will start today. It will continue on Thursday. Then Friday is a mashup. Don't miss that meeting. Don't have a habit of just being in church on Sundays. When there are special meetings like that, you make sure you are there. There are things you take vacation for. Things you take, you can take leave from work just to be in such meetings. And immersion is one of those meetings. And most importantly, for the time it's coming, it's the beginning of the year. It will set you for the year. It will set the right tone for the year. Amen. So you should be around. But then I'll just start teaching this morning. I titled it Recognizing the Voice of God. Amen. I'm going to teach you in the simplest way how to hear from God. Amen. The same, all this God told me. I'm going to teach you in the simplest way. Every believer is supposed to hear from God. Every believer. If not for any other reason, because God is your Father. You're supposed to hear from Him. And I dare add that every believer hears from God. Just that we don't know how to recognize. Sometimes like I used to tell my friends, I don't need to teach a believer how to hear from God. I think we need to teach a believer how to recognize the voice of God. You don't teach a child how to hear from the Father. But the child must learn to recognize that this is my Father talking. There are thousands or millions of voices on the earth. And you must be able to know that this is God. Just like on earth, there are many, many, many people that have different, many guys that can talk. But if you've learned to recognize your Father's voice, even when they blind you and your Father talks, like if your Father wears a masquerade now, covers his face, and maybe there are 20 masquerades, once he talks, he says, "Daddy, why are you covering your face?" You've learned how to hear his voice. We must learn how to recognize the voice of the Spirit. And listen, this is one of the most important things every believer must learn. If not, you're going to live your Christian life like a confused person. And it's better you begin to learn it. You know, sometimes when I'm on stage here, I say things like, "Oh, there is someone here," and then it's correct. And many of you think that is all I need that particular ability for. Well, that's not what I need it for. That's only the secondary thing. The primary reason I need to be able to hear from God is for my own life. I get to the point. It's for direction. It's to be able to know what to do. Because when you do not hear from God over any situation, you are just living in trial and error. The believer is not supposed to live his life by trial and error. If not for any other thing, he has God that knows the end from the beginning. I get to the point. We call God omniscient. Omniscient means he knows everything. So he knows even what the devil is planning tomorrow. And so you must master how to hear from God. And most importantly, because for a good number of us, we are at a point in our lives where we are making critical life-changing decisions. Are you following me? We are choosing the city to reside. We are choosing who to marry. We are choosing what to do. We are choosing a career path. But that's the point where many people are. And because of that, you need to be able to know how to hear from God. And even in your everyday life, you should be able to master how to know that this is God talking to me, and this is not God talking to me. And you better learn it now, and even practice it with simple things. Because I always say something jokingly, but it is true. Many people don't learn early how to recognize God's voice talking to them. But they suddenly want to hear from God when they want to make a very important decision. For instance, when marriage comes, that sister that has never heard from God, even over any simple thing, now wants to hear from God for who she will marry. How will that even work? I get the point. How will you even know that it is God talking to you? You've never heard from him. You've never asked him anything. You don't even know how he speaks. And suddenly he says, God told me to marry. Which God told you? Next, by Thursday, and let me even say this. Don't miss Thursday services this year. No serious Christian goes to church once every week. Write it and never forget it, no matter your excuse. No serious Christian goes to church once every week. Nobody. You are not going to grow and become solid like that. And if you are in this church, you should know that the most important teachings come on Thursdays. I hope you know. Because Sunday is for everybody. Thursdays. So on Thursday, I'll continue this teaching. I will narrow down a little on Thursday on visions and revelations. Visions, revelations, and all that. The last time I taught on that was 2017. So I'm going to reload it again. Visions and revelations. You need to know how to hear from God. You need to know how to see visions. All this, they say, I saw a vision. It's not special for any kind of Christian. It's not special for pastors. You just need to know how these things function. Are you here? Jeremiah chapter 30. Everybody must learn how to hear from God. Sorry, chapter 10 rather. Jeremiah 10 verse 23. Jeremiah 10 verse 23. You need to master how God speaks and know how to hear him. How to clearly say, this is God talking to me. He said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. I read this scripture for you all the time. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah is saying, if you decide as a man to direct your step by yourself, you make mistakes. It is not a man. It's not a man. NLT said, we are not able to plan our own course. So it's not a man to determine, well, I'm going to go here. Because we don't even know what tomorrow looks like. The book of James tells us, you that is saying, tomorrow I will go to this city and do this and do that. He said, how do you even know what will happen tomorrow? Who is following me this morning? How do you know that this will not happen tomorrow? But then we just plan our lives by our own selves, and then we expect that things will suddenly work. And then we complain when they don't. God wants to talk to you. And I'll tell you, God wants to talk to you more than you even want to listen to him. When you learn to hear the voice of God, it solves a lot of problems. One of the issues it brings for you, one of the problems it solves for you, for instance, it solves the issue of deliverance and protection. Following God's voice and hearing his voice is one of the easiest ways to stay safe. Because when there is a danger, he will show you. And let me say this to you. There has never been a time when there is a danger when the Holy Ghost will not show you. The question is whether you will know he's talking, whether you will recognize the voice, and whether you will follow. Are you in church this morning? You know the story I shared this story on Christmas Day. When they gave birth to Jesus, Matthew chapter 2. Herod already had planned, I'm going to destroy this guy. We see the voice of God play major roles. First, he went to the shepherds and told them, don't go back to Herod. He used that divine leading to keep Jesus safe. Don't go back to Herod. He went to Joseph and Mary and said, run with the child. That tells you that God is always ahead of the devil. And if we will learn to always hear him, he will always keep us safe ahead of the devil. Amen. Let me say this to you. Do you know that by the time God was telling them to carry Jesus and run, Herod had not even known that he was going to ask every 2-year-old child to be killed. So before it even got into the heart of Herod to do evil, God already planned the way of escape. And the only way you were able to pick it is by divine leading, by listening to God. A
So when you form, one of the things you must try to do this year, part of the habits you form this year is, I want to master how to hear from God. I want to be able to follow him. To know when he talks, to know when to follow him. It's something you learn. Why are you learning it? I'll tell you why you learn it. You learn it just like a child. When a child is born, over time, the child learns to recognize that this is my father talking. At first, he may not be able to know. But progressively, even from far, do you know children recognize to the point that they can tell the horn of their father's car? Amen. Many other cars will just pass our horn and say, that's not daddy. Especially when they're committing evil. Maybe they're in the pool watching TV. Immediately they hear that horn and say, that's not. Immediately, there's a particular horn they will hear. Everybody will start reading. Run to your room with the arrangers, pick your book, and stay very serious. How they are able to do that? They've learned over time, so that this is how that they used to run. You must learn how to hear from God. So it keeps you safe. I've also explained to you, it brings prosperity. It brings increase. You want to make any investment this year, hear from God. Now, let me tell you, don't live like the world. Don't just make your plans like the world. If you make your plans like the world, you follow trial and error. You follow, you study the market and all that. That is good though. But beyond that, hear from God. Genesis 26 verse 1. I always read that story. And I like reading it and contrasting it with Ruth. I'm coming to that. So in Genesis 26 verse 1, there was a famine. And Isaac had planned, well, let me run away. God told him, don't go anywhere. Stay back in this land. So when he obeyed the voice of God and stayed back in the land God told him to stay, it brought prosperity. The Bible tells us the man became so rich that the Philistines began to envy him. Just because God said stay. Another person would have just stayed because Isaac is staying. And the person would run into trouble. Because the logical thing to do when there is a famine is to run away. Just like I've kept telling you, for instance, in Nigeria now. Everybody wants to run away from Nigeria because Nigeria is passing through tough times. And if you want to run away, I have no problem with that. I hope you know that. I hope you know. There's nothing wrong with that. I only have a problem with if that is not what God wants for you. You're going to run into trouble. The safest place, I've always told you, and the richest place, the wealthiest place, is the center of God's will for your life. If you are there, you'll be rich. If you are there, you'll be safe. And let me say something to you about God's leading. When God leads you to stay in a place, I don't know if I have time to talk about divine geography this morning. When God leads you to stay in a place, he makes a holistic plan for you. What I mean by that is, if you follow your own wisdom and follow your own leading, you might get one or two things right. For instance, you can decide, I'm going to leave Enugu and go to Ebony or wherever, because there is a well-paying job there. You might get there and actually get the well-paying job. I get to the point. But in the process, other areas may suffer. You might not find your relationship, you might not find yourself meeting one or two demons in that place who will ruin your life. Do you understand? Your relationship may suffer. Your spiritual life may suffer. Safety becomes an issue from one problem to another. That's not God's plan. God's plan is to keep you in a place where you are rich, where you are safe, where your relationships are fine, where everything, his plans, he makes holistic plans such that he takes every area of your life into consideration before he makes the plan. That's why when he talks to you, you listen. Because you know why it's good to follow God? When you are sure he's leading you. When you come into a place and God led you to the place. When something is wrong, you can hold him responsible. Take it to the point. You can talk to him, Dad. Say, you said I should come here. So what's up? What's happening? And that's why he's not a man to direct himself. So you see Isaac, there was a famine. And the Lord told him, stay back in that land. And he stayed back And the Lord blessed him. Look at verse 12. Isaac stood in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. What the important thing is, two important words here. In that land, in the same year. Two important. When he says in that land, he's trying to remind you that same land where there was famine. I was not producing. When he says in the same year, he's trying to remind you, it is in that same year of famine. Are you following me? What we, you know, sometimes we pray. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We pray and we say, well, I prayed and I waited and I didn't see the answer. Most times, why it looks like we didn't see the answer is that the answers to your prayer are in divine leading. Don't forget what I said. If God says, I am going to give you, give me an example. What did you pray for? Talk. What did you pray for? A house. God said, I'm going to give you a house. You prayed and you received the house in prayer. Now, there are many ways that house can come. That house can come by you closing a very massive business deal. And then you go pay for the house. You understand? Now, let's work with that. We'll work with the rest later. That business deal might come by one person you have to meet. And if you do not hear God, do not follow his leading, you might just miss that person. And I begin to complain, oh, God does not answer prayer. I give another example. Another way that house can come might be God just bringing you into a certain property that people want to give at a giveaway price. I get to the point. Maybe a house that's supposed to be 14 million, somebody just wants to sell it for 8 million. For some reason, he just wants to run away from the country. So he wants to sell everything he has and leave. So he begins, God begins to direct your step. The Bible tells us he orders the footsteps of the righteous. So he begins to tell you, well, you go here. If you listen to him, you run into that man. They say, oh, that was just coincidence. It's not coincidence. But then you do not listen to him. You miss the man. Sometimes you don't know that in not paying attention to simple leadings that God puts in your heart. Okay? You have missed out on so many prayers you have prayed. Are you following me? Are you following me? You know, some of you, some prayers you prayed 5-6 years ago, God answered with you joining church. You get the point?
Yeah.
Now, when you are joining church, it might just be a simple thing in your heart. Let me just join this and become serious. What you did not realize is that when you are about to join, you are coming into the answer to about 15 prayer points. Are you following me this morning? That's how answers come. So if you had missed that single leading of join this church, you would have missed out of 15. And I said, well, the prayers that we prayed, where are they? Some of you, how the answer came is that you came into church and then pastor began to teach and began to show you how to exercise your faith. That answer to your prayer. You now went back and exercised the faith and then you had your answers. You wouldn't have had those answers if you didn't know how to exercise your faith. So you need to realize that how God leads or how God answers prayer most times is in his leading. You see, so Isaac went to that land and he had 100-fold. Contrasted with Ruth, the book of Ruth, a man called Elimelech. Was he Elimelech? Is that his name? Yeah, Elimelech, yes. There was famine in the land. What did he do? He ran away. Without hearing from God. Ran away with his wife Naomi, with his two children Mahlon and Chilion. They ran into a land where there was plenty. At least the Jakba. In that land, Elimelech lost his life. Elimelech lost Mahlon. Elimelech lost Chilion. So Naomi was just alone. Guess what God led her to do? To go back to the land where she was coming from. So that loss was unnecessary. That loss could have been avoided. Are you following me, church? You know, that's why don't live your life by trial and error. The consequences can be too much. You might recover, but you might have lost a lot of things. Can be too much. leading. What I'm sharing with you is what many, even some unbelievers, all these guys that are very wealthy. Why do you think you go to some native doctors' houses and go to some of these prophets? You find wealthy people there. What are they looking for? Direction. See for me. What should I do? Should I put my money here? Because they know that life doesn't work like that. A man I know, I'm telling you a real life story, he joined a big cult. All these cults that used to make people have money some years ago. And so before he joined the cult, he had already planned to do a certain business. The person that told us the story is the son. The son is grown now. He told us the story about the father. He was showing us, look at all these properties. My dad bought it many years ago to use to, because the father has died, but he knew the father was not pure. He bought it to use to start a certain business. But when he joined this cult, they told him, this business you are about to start cannot make you rich. So abandon everything you've bought. Start this other business. And he did. Till today, those things are still packed in their house doing nothing. But they are very wealthy. Because eventually went to do that business and he began to do well. Now, some other person will say, oh, well, this business is paying, and then he jumps into it and he crashes. So, what you call, let me say this to you, no matter the success you think you have now, it is nothing compared to what God wants to give you. And what God wants to give you, he will show you when you learn to listen to him. Sometimes we say, I don't need God. You say, why? I have everything I need. What is everything you need? You have 2 million. You've not seen life. You say, you are balling. How much are you balling with? 3.2 million. That's balling. And so, that's the foolishness. All these church people, did they go to church? I see get money past them. Well, you are not sure. You know, it's not people that spend money that have money. So let's leave that. I've met some kind of people. It's when you start talking with them, you now realize these boys. You know that people, different things appeal to people. There are people, they spend money on their clothes. Others spend money on shoes. Others spend money on cars. Others spend money on houses. So some people, you may not know they have money until you meet some part. Some people spend money on nothing. Now, don't be like that. Have something at least that you should spend money. So I'm spending on, if they will have money, you will not know. The guy sitting with you has about 180 million naira sitting in his account. He's wearing a normal shoe. He's even driving a normal car. Pencil lights, 2.2. He's just there, smiling with you. See, if I come to say this economy is hard. I see the guy just living. You know, people are just different. So most times when you feel you are satisfied with where you are, I'm doing well. There is a lot more that God wants to do for you if you can listen to him. A lot more. So, there is productivity, there is all of that. And I want to assure your hearts this morning that God has promised again and again that he will guide you if you can listen to him. You know, in Psalm 32 and verse 8, God has promised again and again that he will guide you. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. It's a promise that God has made. So that you can begin to desire to hear him. Because he has promised that he will guide you. In Psalm 37 and verse 23. Psalm 37 verse 23. Very quickly, we're going to read 23 and 24. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. You see that? So a man can fall and not be cast down utterly because his steps are ordered by the Lord. When your steps are ordered by the Lord, even when you fall, what will happen? The Lord will uphold you with his hand because he's the one that led you into that path. I didn't get the point. He led into that path. One of the reasons, talking about church all the time, I talk about, one of the reasons why I'm bold enough to talk to God about anything about this church. Once things want to go down, I can talk to God and say, Father, because he led me, he told me to be here. That's why I told you guys, some of you that were in the retreat I had recently, God does not join things You can't start something and they invite God to come and join it. He starts. He wants you to start. You can't start your relationship and tell God, Father, I just started a relationship. Come and help me. Which relationship? You might have to end it. You will still learn. You can't start a work now. You're just like, let me start a ministry. I say, Father, come and help us. Help you do what? What exactly? So I was so sure. My greatest challenge when I wanted to start the PG was, is God leading us? I had to run the check again and again and again. I wanted to be sure. And let me tell you, be sure. Some of you that were in the retreat, I was just, not, you know, the church retreat, it's Champions Foundation retreat. You heard the story, some of the stories I told you guys. Some of the decisions we made this year, I prayed over them for 2 to 3 years. You remember I told you? 2 to 3 years. And you know why? If you want to take 200 years to be sure that this is God's leading, please find out. Because where he leads, even if you sleep, he will uphold you. Because he sent you. Amen. So God wants to lead you, has promised to lead you. Of course, the popular Isaiah 30 verse 21, I like that scripture a lot. When talking about divine leading, Isaiah 30 and verse 21, it said, thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right, and when you turn to the left. It's a promise God is making. That every time you turn to the right and turn to the left, your ear will hear a voice saying, this is the way. This is the way. So that is a promise of guidance. Let me run through this, you know. Let me say a few things. One, let me tell you how God does not lead, how he doesn't speak. What God's voice is not. What God's leading is not. One, God does not lead or speak to you through circumstances. Please write it and don't forget it. God does not speak to you through circumstances. So you cannot say, how do you know God is leading you to do this? He said, because on that day I woke up and I was feeling very this. You can't use whatever. Or how I knew that God wanted me to do that was because that morning when I said I wanted to do this, everybody was even supporting me. Everybody was telling me, it's right. I just knew that was God. You can never be too sure. Satan can fill all their hearts. Do you get the point? You know, it happened in the Bible. A king wanted to go to war. About 400 prophets, all of them kept telling him, you will win. You will win. Until they called one dangerous prophet. What's his name again? Can I remember? Huh? Micaiah, something like that. He just got there and told the king, what? You will win. The king said, tell me the truth. The way he said it sarcastically. He said, let me tell you. I saw where he said a demon decided that he was going to get into the mind of all these prophets and give them a lying tongue to lie to you. If you go to this battle, you will not come back. So they caught him and put him in prison. Of course, he was there when the king died. You know, you look at a man like David. The man fought, you know, The man fought throughout his life. He lost no single battle. If you know what that means in those days, he fought from his youth till an old. He lost not one battle. Do you know why? Before he goes on a battle, check, I think, the First Samuel chapter 30, they came and abducted his whole household. When he arrived, the normal thing to do is, guys, let's pursue. He told them, wait. Bible said, everybody there, the people that were left, we are threatening to stone him. You're a bad leader. He told them, wait. He just turned to the Lord. Shall I pursue? Will I overtake? Will I recover? He needed to hear. That's the secret of the man's battle, Lord. Don't always do what everybody expects you to do. Listen to God. And that God's leading is not in circumstances. You can't find it by saying, since this happened and that happened. It means, how do you know that God wants you to start a ministry? In the light came into town, a man just met me and gave me land. That's not anything. I went to preach somewhere. I mean, as far back as 2008. That was Anambra State. I mean, 2008. When I'm talking about 2008, I just finished WAEC. I just finished my, I was young. And these people met after I finished preaching. They said, ah, where are you? I said, I'm in Enugu State. What are you doing in Enugu State? Nsukka. You're wasting your time there. He said, come here. I'm going to get a hall for you. 2008, small boy. I'm going to get a hall for you. This gift you have, if you come to this town, everybody will run mad. I say, it's fine. Let me go home first and meet my mommy. What do I know? Small boy. People would have said, oh, that's God's. That's God. Is there confirmation? What's confirmation? It's not anything. Finally, I went to preach. I think I went to that meeting. Somewhere, you know, I went to preach. And we had amazing meetings. We had an amazing meeting. Like, that was a blind man. You remember? Yes, I had a blind man that saw. We had a man that. Crazy miracles. And the pastor met me after the service. Say, amazing. Made me some offers. Come and pastor with us. We'll give you a branch. We'll give you a house. We'll give you a car. I just finished. I was in final year. I don't think I've written my degree exam then. A house, a car, and all that. Just pastor with us. Now, you can't use those things to know that God is leading you. Whether the circumstances are good or whether they are bad, they're not a proof of anything. Now, listen to this. God can speak to you in the circumstance, but not with it. So when you're having tough times does not mean that God is not leading you. But while you're having tough times, God can begin to talk to you in the tough time. Are you get what I'm saying? It's not the tough time. You can't say because there are tough times, it means God doesn't want it. Or because there are good times, it means God wants it. Amen. A pastor was going to, wait before he came to Lagos, the first time he attempted to come to Lagos to start a ministry, they did a meeting. The meeting was so amazing, and they received a gift. Guess the gift they received? It was a land. No, Abi, a land or a car. They landed property, if I'm not mistaken. And when they finished and they were going, the Lord said, it's not yet time for Lagos, go back. You can't use supernatural provision to prove that God is leading you to do anything. I showed you guys, God led Jesus. Jesus was one man that flowed divine leading fully. Yes, look at his life. From one problem to another. And finally ended up on the cross. Jesus, are you sure you are following God? You just got to the cross. But like I always tell you, with God, the end is fine. No matter what happens. You know, following God does not mean that there will be no tough times. Following God means that no matter what the devil does, you will win. So, God does not speak to us through circumstances. I tell you what God's leading is not also. It's not superstition. It's not superstition. Many people, what they call God spoke to me, is that I've just been too superstitious. How do you know that rat that entered your house is witchcraft? Who told you? Who's a superstitious person? Who told you the rat is a witch? Innocent rat. Now, don't get this twisted. Can witches come as rats? They can. Now, I will tell you personally. You don't believe it. Don't worry. Life we teach you. Witches can come as birds. But you can't be that superstitious. How to know that this is it or that? It's not. You know what superstition is? One big definition I love for superstition is people who have an unnecessary fear of the devil. That's superstition. Paul met them in Acts 17 verse 22. He told the man of Athens, I perceive that you are too superstitious. He told them. What they were doing, we have the unknown God. See, you guys are too superstitious. That's not God's leading. I was walking along the road and I hit my left leg on a stone. What does it mean? I'll tell you what it means. You are not looking. Simply, that's what it means. You see, if your left eye is twitching. Have you heard that? What does it mean? That you want to cry. Oh, your right eye is twitching. What does it mean? Something good is coming. Sometimes just sleep. Yeah, just sleep. You see, if you wear the back of your clothes, somebody's about to dash you money. Now, you remember all the times you wear the back of your clothes? That's why you just deliberately wear back of your clothes. That's super. You can't use that. A believer cannot live his life by that. That's superstition. That's trial and error. That's not how God speaks. God did not speak to you through superstition. So it's not circumstance. It's not superstition. I just say two more things. God doesn't speak through negative emotions. Things like fear. Things like worry. So how do you know God doesn't want you to do that? I was just so afraid. For all you care, that could be the devil. The Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear. And when he says God has not given us, God cannot speak to you through something he doesn't give. Are you following me? You can't use worry to know. Because, for instance, if you ever launched, have you ever done any new project in your life? There is always tension. Whether God is leading you or not. Have you observed that? There is always this doubt. Yeah, am I sure? Always that tension. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean God is leading you. It doesn't mean he's not. So when you talk about hearing from God, what people say they heard from God, sometimes it's just superstition. It's just superstition. Most times it's fear. They heard from fear, not from God. Sometimes it's worry. Sometimes it's guilt they are hearing from. You know, you can hear from guilt. Guilt can talk to you. Guilt can talk to you. Like somebody, you say, God spoke to me to do this, and I didn't do it. So God now said to me that because of that, he will never speak to me again. That's guilt talking to you. That's guilt. So you can't use negative emotions to know. I want to say one more thing before I just proceed and explain the voice of God a little. Then we close today. What the voice of God does not speak to you always with spectacular happenings. Please learn this. I will address this more next week. When we hear voice of God talking to you, what we all are expecting is, when pastor says, God spoke to me, there is somebody here that is, you were expecting that the way I heard it was, hey, son, don't you alright? And I say, Lord, what is that? You know, that's what we think God's voice is. God is not always spectacular. In fact, God is rarely ever spectacular. And when he is spectacular, he's trying to point your attention to something. God is always simple. What we want to understand as voice of God is, because we want me to teach you how to just be in your room and just hear footsteps. Boom, boom. And they just enter. Say, sit down, let's talk. Say, my son. Now, that can happen. And let me even tell you something. Before you are done with your Christian life, you are going to have that experience at least once. Trust me. Just continue with God. Don't force it. Don't pray for it. It will come. One day, you are going to have one spectacular experience. But then, it's an exception. That's not how God talks. God is not always spectacular. One of the guys that had the most spectacular experiences is Brother Hagin. He will sit in his room, and Jesus will walk into his room physically and talk with him. Get his book, I Believe in Visions. Very powerful material. So that happened, but he said that happened about 4 or 5 times. The last time it happened, Jesus told him, this will be the last time I will appear to you this way. I asked him why. He said, because I want to talk to you the same way I talk to every other of my children through their spirit man. Are you getting me? If God speaks to you spectacularly all the time, it means he cannot speak to you except you alone. Imagine how God talks to you is a loud voice. So imagine you are writing your exam and God wants to talk to you. And while, or maybe lecturer is teaching in class, while I'm trying to concentrate, you are hearing, I want you to go and, concentrate. That is, this guy is not saved. I want you to go and preach to him. And you're saying, yes, Lord. Look, your lecturer, this man, while your lecturer is teaching, you get a confused person. That's not how God talks. And that's what we think God's leading is. Or imagine God shows you things with your physical eyes every day. So your lecturer is teaching in the class. You are watching film. He's just showing you screen in front of you. Things are happening. Lecturer is teaching. He said, are you following? You are lost. You are just watching. That's not how God talks to you. You know, God, you know, the way it is, I can be doing something on this stage, and God is talking to me about somebody now. It happens all the time. I can be driving, and God is talking to me about what will happen in church. Imagine if God speaks spectacularly all the time. So I'm driving, he's showing me a vision with my physical eyes. I'm no longer seeing car. I'm watching film. I end up in the hospital. You know, just while I'm just driving, talking with my family. Maybe you're just sitting with your family as a father. Try to have a good time with your children. And every time God will just interrupt. Hey, I want to talk to you. My son. You say, can people hear that? They say, no, we can't. They say, my son, this your child will be great. This one. You know, God shouting into your ear like that. you just, that is the proof of madness. What else is madness? Anybody that has many voices speaking to him at the same time in his head. He's a madman. He's just walking up and down. Something is telling him, this dustbin is a 5-star hotel. You can just lie down. The voice, he sees bread. He says, wow, welcome to Crunchies. He sees bread in the dustbin. So he begins, he does have to be a mad person. So he's just eating the bread. He's looking at you like you are mad. How can I not be eating this bread that I'm eating? You know, that's madness. So that's not how God leads us. When we talk about leadings of God, don't always expect that when pastor is done teaching, I'm just walking along the road and I'll be hearing. No, that's not how God talks. It will happen to you once in a while. It has happened to me once in a while. But I can tell you, most important decisions that I've made in my life, that's not how I made it. Nobody should fool you. I know that prophets can try to be spectacular and they can try to make you. He said, I'm hearing in my left ear. No, that's not true. That's not true. I've heard such things. And I hear the Lord in my right ear. How did you know the ear you heard? You know, it's just some of the things that we say. I don't say it. I'm just saying we, as in general, men of God. Some of the things we say just to make the place look, you know, Sam. He said, and I stepped out of my room. And I stepped into your father's compound. And I moved to my right. I moved to my right. And I tell, what is this? And I go front. And I see a door. Now, actually, he's seen all those things. But he's not moving around like that. Is he not on this stage? But you know, if you don't do it like that, it will not look somewhere. You don't look again. Imagine I just come and say, well, God is saying, you know, in your father's house, there is this and that. God is saying, it's going to change it. You will not feel. But if I just start, and I woke up in the spirit, and I walked into your father's compound, and I see Azimo. You know those, I've done it before, so I can do it very well. Azimo. The person will not say, yes, I'm from Azimo. You know, smile. That's fine. That's fine. You know, say, should I pro? Leave this matter. My point is, I'm not saying if that's what they want to do, it's fine. You see, that thing they're doing is stage drama. It's fine. They're using it to encourage people's faith. That is not how God speaks to them, even in their personal life. That's not how. Because they're going to be, what I'm saying, I'm not saying it is wrong, it is their own whatever, it's fine. But that, if you now think that when God wants to talk to them, that's how he does, that's not true. He speaks to them normally, that, through their spirit, man. Are you following me? It's just that when you're a prophet, when you are called the office of a prophet, there is this natural thing about having more spectacular happenings than others. I will explain that later, not today. It's not because you pray more, it's just because there is a call of God like that. There are people that are called because of their calling. They are more prone to visions. They are more prone to those things. It's just call of God upon their life. But then, that is not how God leads them every day. Brother Hekin was a prophet. But every time he wanted to close a big deal, he doesn't look for visions. He hears from his inward witness. And that takes me to addressing one or two things. I want you to know that God lives in you. He is in you. And so, because he's in you, his voice is in. Where does God live? In your heart. God does not live on the outside. So if he's going to talk to you, he's going to talk to you on the inside because he lives on your inside.
Are you for what I'm talking about?
Galatians 4 verse 6. Yeah, Galatians 4 verse 6. Let me show you something. Just he says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts. So where does the spirit of God live? He lives in your hearts. So when you are going to hear God, you will not hear him from heaven. You will hear him from within. Because that's where he stays. He has sent for the spirit of God into your hearts, whereby we cry, or crying, Abba Father. Verse 7. Wherefore thou art no mere servant, but a son. So because you are a son, God's spirit is in your heart. God is in your heart. So you shouldn't expect him to speak to you from the outside. He will speak from the inside. 1 Corinthians 6:17 makes it very clear. He said, whosoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So if you are one with the Spirit of God, he's not going to talk from the outside. He's going to talk from the inside. Are you still in church this morning? So that simplifies hearing from God for you. So I'll just give you 4 or 5 ways God speaks to us. It's the same thing, but just flow. First, the common one, by his word. The word of God is one of the biggest ways God speaks to you. I mean the word of God in the Bible. The Bible tells us, Psalm 119 verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's so. The easiest way God will speak to you is through his word. I've said this all the time, many times. I'm going to say it again. There are many things that you want to get God's guidance on. Look at his word. His word already has divine guidance, as in clear guidance. He will not lead you outside that word. Are you following me? There are some things I tell people. Sometimes people come to this church. It happens all the time. Even throughout December, I have to deal with that a lot. People come and tell me, oh, sir, the Lord said I should just leave my church where I'm worshiping and come and join you in this church. And I say, okay, well, and some of them are committed there. I say, pray. After praying, they say, the Lord said, I should join you. So I'm coming next Sunday. I say, that's not going to work. Now, watch this. I say, you have to go back to that church and talk to the pastor and convince the pastor and wait for the pastor to peacefully release you. That is what God wants you to do. How do I know that's what God wants him to do? Simply because the word of God is clear on how God acts. God is a God of order. He doesn't break protocol. I've seen that in the Bible. I don't need to start asking God, should I just let him come like that? I know God will not let him come like that. Who's following me this morning? When you look at God's word, you can tell what God will do, what God wants you to do. I always give this example when it comes to marriage. Somebody is in your life or you are in somebody's life. And then the person is not you are trying to be serious with God. The person is not a serious Christian. Or he's not even a believer at all. Or he doesn't really care about God's stuff like that. And you're trying to investigate, is it God's will? Stop praying. The answer is very clear. It's not God's will. How do you know? The word of God is so clear. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So sometimes we pray prayers that don't make sense because God is already speaking to you in his word. You must take God's word as a personal letter written to you. That's why this new book that was coming out. In fact, let me tell you, the book will be out this weekend. Immersion. Amen. Yeah, it's a very simple book, just a very short book. And it's titled Letters to My Heart. Amen. Now let me tell you what makes the difference in that book. And that's you see what I'm saying. The book is written in the first person pronoun. So I did not write the book like you are righteous. When you read it, you are going to read I am righteous. Because you must learn to take God's word as personal. When the Bible says, for he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that one might be made righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Don't just read it like that. For he made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, that Henry might be made. God is talking to you in his word. Where he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbeliever, is a personal instruction to you. It's not just written to us, it is written to you. And so when you open God's word, you are seeing God's leading. And I tell you, by God's word, I have had to survive a lot of, I have had to know what God wants me to do many times. I've seen wrong, I've done some things in ministry over time, and just by studying God's word, I just see, wow, you have been wrong. And I stopped. That was God talking to me. I didn't need to hear it in my spirit. If it is in the word, then it is correct. Please follow me this morning. You say, wow, you've been wrong. That's not how you should have done it. I say, oh Lord, I repent. You don't. So God's voice is his word. God's leading is his word. You want to know what God wants you to do? Know God's word. That's why you have to study it a lot. A lot. Amen. Some of you that want to get married this year, the first part of the lead you need to sort out is to know God's word. What did the word of God even say about marriage? What did he say? Does the word of God allow you to be playing with people's hearts? Does he allow you to just meet anybody from anywhere and carry the person? There are clear things you find in the word. Do not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. Isaac was about to get married. Abraham told, said, make sure you marry for my son a wife that is within my kindred. That's a lot of instruction right there. The Bible talking about the widowed woman. He said, if a woman is widowed, she is at liberty to marry whosoever she wills. That's 1 Corinthians 7. Only in the Lord. So you can choose who you want, but it must be in the Lord. In the Lord. Imagine it. So some of these are quite clear. That you bring one girl you don't know from somewhere, and you bring the pastor, he tell you want to hear what I will say. I will tell you what you want to hear. That's the point. You know, there are people that don't want to be led. There are people that don't want to be instructed. So when they are coming to you, they don't want you to tell them what to do. They want you to approve what they've done. I will approve it. It's body language. I don't get the point. But somebody just come and say, Dad, see who I'm going to marry. I say, wow. Congrats. When is the wedding day? That's what I'm going to do. But if you really want to be led, some prayer points are not necessary. So you have a guy. The guy says he's born again. How do you know he's born again? I know because I preached to him. He said he believes. Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. He believes. Does he know he's born again? No, he himself. Maybe you know because you understand how this thing works. Him himself, does he know he's born again? So he lives carelessly. Does he go to church? Sometimes. Is he committed in church? He's not really the church type. Does he have a pastor? No. I don't even say this to you by God's word. One of the wrong, nothing like wrongest, but let's use it, amen? One of the wrongest people to marry. You see, anybody that nobody can correct, there is no voice of authority over his or her life, run away from the person. The day he will start beating you, nobody can stop him. When he walk out of the marriage, nobody can stop him. When he starts cheating, nobody can stop him. When he ignores his family and refuses to take care of them, nobody can stop him. I get to the point. Who is the voice of authority over your life? Some people don't have. So nobody can tell me what to do. And sometimes you ladies, when they say nobody can tell me what to do, you tell them, then you can't tell me what to do. I don't get the point. If nobody can tell you what to do, then you cannot tell me what to do. Why do you want to lead me where you cannot be led? Are you following me this morning? The word of God is clear on some things. What did the Bible say? Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit yourselves to them. But the guy doesn't want to do that. So some things are very clear as far as God's word is concerned. And you need to know, you can't improve on God's word. You just have to accept it. You can't modify it. You can't paint it. I was telling some people, somebody is trying to do a study on fornication. I was telling you guys here that today's study on fornication. That's not really what it means. And there's another Greek word. I say, see here, when you are done, the word of God is still the word of God. Conscience rema. The other one say, how did I'm telling you a real life story. How did Adam and Eve get married? Adam just saw Eve and say, this is just now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And they began to have sex. So if I just see you and say, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, we can just move on. You know, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. So when the girl finished talking to me, I said, go and ask him, how many people has he told, you are now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh? Go and ask him many people. You might be number 12. The 12th bone. You might be the 12th bone. The 13th flesh. You know, you can't twist God's word to suit you. It is just there for you to obey it. When you find that you are not obeying it, what do? You repent. You see, God's word will not adjust to you. There are some things I read from the Bible and the thing hits me and I say, wow. But after the now, what do? You adjust. That's why it's God's word. Amen. That is, cohabiting can never be right. You don't like it, but it's God's word. So before I begin, Father, do you want me to move into his house? No. What are you praying for? What's the answer? No. So how do you know? Check the Bible. Amen. So God's word first. The second way God speaks, I'm just trying to show you the easiest way, the simplest way, is what we call, I teach on this all the time, the inward witness. Now, you know, on the first night, I was talking about the revelation of the man within. Do you remember? You see what this is? There is an inward man. You know, I explained that very well that night. There is a man inside of you. This is not you. The real you is inside. That inward man has a witness. We got that word from Romans 8:16. Put it up. Let me show you. Can you power this a little? I'm stretching it again. Romans 8:16. He said, the Spirit itself beareth witness. That's how came about with that word. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. So inside of you, this Spirit, notice the words, the Spirit, that's God's Spirit. You see, the King James guys even tried to put it in capital letter. Beareth witness with our spirit. You see, they put it in small letter. You understand? So, why this is very... Don't use this capital and small letter always in Bible study. It can be wrong. Because actually, in the Greek, the word there is pneuma. Pneuma. You understand? So, don't always use it. But then, it works here. So, the spirit bears witness of our spirits that we are children of God. So, there is a witness of the spirit in your heart. That's how God speaks to you. Let me tell you what the inward witness is. The inward witness is not necessarily a voice. It's not God saying, go or stop. I'll come to voice shortly. The inward witness is a reaction. That's how I'm going to explain it. From your spirit. When something is happening, your spirit is going to react to it. I didn't say your mind. Because somebody asked me, how am I sure? I'm coming to that. Just follow me casually. Your spirit is going to react to something. If something is happening on the outside, your spirit man is going to react to it in a way. That thing is God's leading. Look at Proverbs 20 verse 27. It tells us about the spirit of the Lord. Proverbs 20, 27. The spirit of man being the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So the spirit of man is, it will always respond. Something is happening on the outside, it will respond. Let me show one or two examples in the Bible. In Acts 17 verse 16, let's use Paul. We're going to use Paul just a little now. Acts 17 verse 16, something was happening. See, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred within him. When he saw the whole city, so the man saw something on the outside. What did he see? The whole city giving to idolatry. His spirit was stirred. Of course, what followed next, he began to preach. How did he know he should preach? His spirit responded to what he saw on the outside. Are you following me? Now, that's not your mind. Have you ever been in a situation where something's happening on the outside? Everybody thinks you should go for it. It makes sense even to your mind. But when you check your spirit, man, it's like there's a red light. Red light. Have you seen that kind of thing? Red, stay away. How do I know if I check my spirit, man? Let me give a simple way for some of that are just starters. There is something happening. And it looks so good. But then you go to pray about it. Every time you pray about it, you feel, the way Brother Ege will explain it, he says, it feels like washing your feet with your socks on. It feels strange. Do you understand? It doesn't just feel right. Or sometimes everybody's saying this is not good, but you pray and then your spirit man, it's not like your head go or stop, but you just find that comfort, that peace. Now, I'm careful with the word peace, because people say, how do I know what it means? Peace. It's peace, actually. But I'm not talking about the peace that comes to your mind. I'm talking about a peace that wells from your spirit, man. Where every other thing on the outside might not be saying the same thing, but you just find that peace within where you pray. That's your spirit reacting. So in this case, Paul's spirit was stirred. Look at chapter 18, verse 5. You should see another example. So your spirit was stirred. Silas and Timothy, we are come from Macedonia. Paul was what? Pressed in the spirit. Say another word like that. Pressed. So it wasn't like he heard something. But this thing we call burden. Does it happen to you? You just feel, have you ever woken up some nights and for no reason, you just find this heavy burden to pray? That's your spirit. You don't need to hear, my son, stand up and pray. That's God talking to you. It's not about prayer. Sometimes you can just be in a place and you find this press in your spirit. It has happened many times. Like I'm just being inside. I've shared this story many times with you. I was inside a chapel many years ago. I'm just sitting there and I found this pressing in my spirit. I didn't hear any voice, but I just felt in my spirit, you have to walk outside now. Does it happen to you? Not to your mind. You just find there is no reason why you should go outside, but just walk outside now. So well, I just stood up and I walked outside. Paced around, went around. I didn't see anything. I came back. Sat back. That pressing came again. Just walk outside. Go outside. And I stood up again after some hesitation. And of course, by the time I got behind there, I see a young lady there. I was crying. And a lot of things. I've shared this. It was a very big deliverance case. Because she was being tormented by some horrible demonic spirits. Have I shared that story with you here? The spirit, where something will appear to her and tell her, go and take money there. I'm telling you, she will go open the person's box, take the money, and hand over the money to them. And they will go with the money. So she steals the money. She will confess that she stole the money, yet she did not use the money, and she can't find the money. And so by that time, she has stolen again. She has confessed again that she stole the money. They were beating, it was a hostel environment. They were beating blue and black. Come off her eye, you know. So she told me, she said, I don't know if you believe me, because nobody does. I said, I believe you. God told me to come out here. Now, when she heard God told me, she would have thought maybe I was inside, and God said to me, son, stand up. When you walk outside, look to the left and the right, you will see a young girl. Well, I didn't hear that. But I found that pressing in my spirit. Just step outside. I came out first, I didn't say anything, I went back and said, go outside again. Are you following me, church? So you need to understand, when we're talking about the word witness, it's not always like there is a voice. You will see Paul say it, I think that's the next chapter, I think that's Acts, is it 19 or so? No, it's the same Acts 18. When the Bible will say, they wanted to go, that's the previous chapter, chapter 16, verse 6, they wanted to go to so-so place, but the spirit forbade them. Now, they didn't hear, the Bible didn't tell us that they heard the Lord say, don't go. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. So, they wanted, now, in this case, they were even going to preach. You will need this a lot in evangelism. Where you want to enter a place, and for some reason, God is saying, go and talk to that. Has that ever happened to you? Where, on the natural, you are seeing a person, you feel, is this one that will respond more? But your spirit man is leading you to this one. Has that happened to you? So they wanted to go to Phrygia. They wanted to preach in Asia. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, they don't preach. They just felt that red light. That red light. So can God stop somebody from preaching? I was saying that shortly. They just felt that red light. Don't preach here. Verse 7. They were come to Mysia. They said, okay, fine. Since we are going to come preach here, let's go to Bithynia. The Spirit suffered them. It means the Spirit did not allow them. So we are not told that they heard a voice. They just felt, this is not time. That feeling is not in your mind. I'm talking about your spirit, where you just feel you want to do something and your spirit responds to it. And of course, by the time they got to verse 8, they now had a vision. Come over to Macedonia and help us. There was a vision. So you find God spoke to them through a vision, but before that, He already spoke to them through the word witness. Don't do this on this. Not by saying, but it was impressed in their heart. They just felt. So you want something that is a green light. Go. Do you know the amazing thing? Because somebody is asking me, somebody can wake up tomorrow and now say, sir, I did not preach because God did not allow me to preach. No. When you want to preach and God says, don't do that here, it's because there is somewhere else He wants you to do it. And it's because it's not yet time. Because you notice, God told them, don't preach here now. For now, be in Macedonia. By Acts 19, they had gotten the release in their heart to go into Asia. They now went to Ephesus. So by 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Do you understand the point? So it's not like God said, don't go to Asia at all. He said, for now. And when you go, when God says you should go, you will have the victory. And so, look out for that red light. Look out for that green light in your heart. Be conscious of it. I learned this from Brother Hagin. He's one of the major guys I learned leading on the Spirit from. He said, any project you bring to him. He said, since I learned this, I have never lost any business deal. And I'm trusting that will be your testimony too. He said, why? Because before he makes any move, he will check that spirit man. If he's very confused, if he's a bit confused about what it is saying, he will tell you, go, come back tomorrow. Let me pray. In that prayer, it's not like he's asking, Father, should I go? Sometimes it's not necessary. Just pray. Spend time in the place of prayer. In that prayer, you just pray. You will find what you must do. You just have this awkward feeling. Now, sometimes some of you come to my office to ask me about something. I already know you shouldn't do it. Not all the time, sometimes. Because sometimes the fact that you are coming to ask me is because even in your own heart, you are feeling uncomfortable about it. Does it happen to you? Huh? You just really feel like, saying, let me just go ask pastor. So sometimes when you just come, I already know, well, tell him to slow down. Because sometimes while you are coming is, there's already that uncomfortable feeling within. So you are just coming to ask to know if you can bypass the process. Or to know if it is your mind. Are you following me? So that is the inward witness. This is the best way God speaks to His children. And the problem it has, or the challenge people have with it is too simple. It's too simple. It's not dynamic. It's not spectacular. That's how we make decisions here in church. Amen. I can just want to do something, and sometimes we want to do something. I just feel that discomfort, that red light. Don't do that. And I'm going to stop it. And I trust my inward witness more than the best experts. I want to put my money somewhere, and I find that red light. I'm not going to put my money there. No matter what you do, I won't put my money there. I won't. No matter what you are showing, I is going to pay. Calculate, I will not put my money there. That my inward spirit, inward man, is more accurate than you. He says, what if I don't put my money there, let the coin, the business does well. It's fine. Because the thing about following divine leading is this. You really don't know what will happen if you don't follow. Are you getting me? That's the truth. And if you follow, if you follow, you don't know what will happen if you don't follow. And if you do not follow, you don't know what will have happened if you had followed. I used to share that story with you all the time, and I used to teach this very well. How I got to Garrick, I wanted to enter a bus many years ago. Remember that story? And the Lord said, don't enter this bus, enter that bus. It was my inward witness. I just felt that red flag about, don't enter this. I was already in the bus. The bus was loading. They were paying. And I just felt that red flag, don't. And I left. Angrily though, because I was not happy that God was trying to do this night. And finally, I got into the next bus, and then I met a girl I ministered to her. And she was, a lot of things happened to her. She was already supposed to die the next day. According to what the witch doctor told her. Now look at that story. At first, when I had that leading to get her from that bus, I felt, well, who knows, maybe this car would be involved in an accident. Maybe it would be robbed. If I had disobeyed that voice and followed that car, there would be no robbery. There will be no accident. Are you following me? And then I'll get to where I'm going and I'll say, so why was God even trying to make me come down in the first place? Where there is even an accident. There is nothing even went wrong. But then I might have ended up destroying somebody's life somewhere. You don't know what will happen when you don't follow. God is wiser than you. That's why I did that song when I was starting. That evil song, you are higher than our minds. We can make our own plans in our own wisdom, but God is higher than our mind. So when he just puts that red flag, there's don't go there. Some of you have experienced this a lot in relationship. You meet somebody, everything just looks perfect, but there is that red flag. Boom. Does it happen to you? Sometimes it's not even about romantic relationship. Sometimes you meet someone, the guy is not looking, but then you just find that peace rolling with him. It's just flowing. Of course, it's not like you should date him or something, but just find, you can just talk. 3 weeks, 1 month after, the guy is born again. He's growing spiritually. Your job is done. Sometimes God leads us with the inward witness. Another way God leads us through our inward man is what I call the inward voice. There is a voice that speaks to you on the inside, not your left ear or your right ear. And I will teach you shortly how to recognize that voice. You know, I think it's Acts 8:29. Philip heard that voice. He got to a place, the Spirit said unto him, go near. Now, this wasn't inward witness now. The Bible did not tell us he was pressed in his spirit to go close. If that was it, it was still divine leading. But in this case, that was the inward voice. The Spirit said, even though the Spirit said, go near and join yourself. Are you still in church this morning? Are you still in church? I told you this year I'm going to teach you a lot, Abby. It's the year of light, year of revelation. We are even still coming. One of the things I will do for you this year, there will be many expository teachings, and there will be many, I will do some personality studies. There are some months you will study Abraham. There are some months you are going to study David. Amen? So this year, you will learn. But we'll be better for it. The Spirit said, go near, join yourself. Go near, join yourself. So there was a voice. Let me tell you the simplest way to recognize this voice. I heard it from my pastor, and it was the simplest explanation to it. When you are praying, when there is a leading thought, you are praying, and there, because that's the only way you can understand it. You are praying about something, and there is this leading thought that keeps reoccurring again and again. Pay attention to it and begin to pray in that direction. Does it happen to you? Father, what business should I start? 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour. And suddenly something comes up in your spirit. And you're trying to, you know, your mind is there. It keeps rising. That's the voice of the Spirit. That leading thought. Pay attention to it. It has helped me. In fact, what I'm sharing with you is how, and I'm calling it thoughts because that's how you will understand it. But it's not actually thoughts. It's the voice of your spirit. But let's call it thoughts. I can just be ministering here, and it just gets impressed in my heart strongly. I just begin to, these thoughts begin to rise. I'm even teaching on maybe conduct or teaching on the gospel. And and I'm just rising again and again in my heart. That leading thought, someone is suffering here. Someone is suffering a particular case of whatever. It's just rising in my heart. That is God. I know. I've mastered it. Once it begins to rise, I don't even need to give. I don't even know that is God. Hallelujah. We love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love
your name.
How we love your name, sing it.
How we love your name.
Let me hear you sing it all about this, please.
Jesus, you're the beautiful one. We love your name.
How we love your name. Sing it now. How
we love your name. Jesus, you're the beautiful one. We love your name.
One last
name.
Time. Just ministering now. Just I was talking about the leading thoughts now. This song began to rise in my heart. Does it not happen to you? Don't you wake up some morning and there is this particular song that is rising? Don't just put it into your mouth. Sometimes God is trying to show you something. Sometimes He's trying to talk to you. Second ministry, just sometimes the song that comes to me, it has nothing to do with what I'm teaching on. How you will now know it is God is after the meeting. Somebody now said, when you sang that song, there was a growth by my side. It just cut off. God wanted to heal someone right there. So you see, you don't reason God with your head. Are you following me? You don't reason with your head. I use what I'm telling you. I use it in everything I do. That thought just begins to rise. How do I know I should write a book? Just praying in the Holy Ghost last December. And the Lord said, first correction, you've not been paying attention. I've been trying to get you to do this. You've not been seeing it. So you are hearing God? Yes. You know, I know it. It was a thought coming. I said, okay, God, what is it? He said, there's a book that's meant to be out this January. What is it about? He didn't tell me clearly. Just put some topics in my heart. I just wrote down. Start working. It was not until even last week that I knew what the name of the book should be. But just a thought that rose in my heart strongly. I was just began to pen them down. Take it to your business. Take it to your career. Something is happening. You just pray in the Holy Ghost. You just feel that thought rising. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. How do people write songs? That is it. Some of you that write songs, do you just sit down and then you begin to hear in your left ear? I found strength in the word of the. You're not right. Does it happen like that? It can happen, but it rarely does happen. It has happened to me sometimes. Maybe I could just be I could be in my dream and I will sing out a song and I wake up and I write it. But that really happens. What happens is, as you're just praying, you just sometimes it first starts by sensing that there is a song. You don't even know what it is yet. Come on, does it happen to you? There's a song. And then you just pray in the Holy Ghost, and the thought begins to. There's a leading thought that just comes. There's this thought that just. Suddenly you just know that this song is about healing, or is about life. That thought. Then the knowledge of scriptures now come to play immediately. Those scriptures begin to pop up in your hearts. That's how it works. So it's not a strange thing that God talks to us. I get to the point. When you are praying, pay attention to the leading thoughts. That not when you pray for 2 minutes, when you are really praying. Pay attention to that leading thought that just keeps rising. Who has ever established a business like this? It doesn't fail. Get into anything, it doesn't fail. When you begin to struggle, get back to the place of prayer. Pay attention, that thought begins to come again. What am I not doing right? What am I not doing right? Sometimes nothing. Continue. I'll make it right. And I just feel like saying to somebody, I'll make it right. That which the Lord led you to do, and you've been doing it faithfully, and it looks like it's not working, don't change, don't shift. Stay there. He's saying, I will make it right soon enough. Soon enough. How do you know that's what God said? I'm still teaching you. The leading thoughts is rising. And as you grow, you will learn that it never fails. Because once you give it, it begins to work. It begins to work. I shared with you guys, that was, I think that first night, went to pray for my uncle. Just got there some years ago. Just finished praying. The man was bedridden. He was just like rag. I didn't know he was having different things. They say he's healing for this. He was sleep. He was having constant hiccup. He couldn't move his. And I just came. I prayed a simple prayer. And I told him, sit up. He sat up. Mind blowing stuff began to happen. And after he said, oh, my family, oh, thank God. Ah, Chineke Aloka. Stepping out of the door, that thought rose in my heart. And I turned. And I said, do you people want to take him to the village? They said, ah, no, a village. But I said, because if you take him there, he will die. But you know, a prophet is not without honor in his house. I was just a small school boy. I was second year. Talking to my big uncle, said, take him there, he will die. I went. The next day, he died. They carried him to the village. The village they got there, he died. So how are you? How are you sure that's going to happen? Why did he say God had killed him because they disobeyed him? No. God sees ahead of the devil. Who knows? That might be a diabolic case. That a person manipulating the whole thing is in that village. I am telling you, brought him as a because I told them not take him to the village, even if it is money. Because the problem was they feel we are here in the hospital spending money on this man. Let's just collect drugs and take him to the village. Because I said, don't take him there. He arrived there that day. He died. Now, am I saying that whenever you are sick, don't ever go to the village? No. But when that thought came, I knew it was on my mind. I wasn't figuring things out. It was just a leading thought by the Spirit. I said, don't do this. This guy is going to die. Let me tell you something. When God speaks, pay attention to what he says and not what the experts say. When there is no direct leading from God, listen to the experts. You know what I said? You have to draw the line very well. When there is no direct leading from God, maybe somebody is sick. There's no direct leading from God. Just be praying and take him to the hospital. Let him take his medications. I didn't get the point. When there's no direct leading, just be praying, trusting God, ministering, healing. But when that leading, that voice, once you get clearly that this is what God wants you to do, pay attention to it. That's what they didn't understand. They were on the sea. Paul told them, don't leave this place. Because everything is going to be destroyed if you leave. They disobeyed him and they left. And by the time everything, the wave became so strong, they were throwing their things away. Paul stood up again and said, sirs, you remember that scripture? You should have listened to me and not left from Troas. I warned you. Well, however, there's no problem. For last night, I'm going to come to this next week on Thursday. The angel of the Lord, who I am and whose I am, stood by me and told me that you will surely stand before Caesar. And more so, I have given you the life of everyone that is with you on this ship. That's leading. So, all you guys, you eat and relax. Nothing will go wrong. That time, they now had to listen. Sit for a moment. Let me just take a little moment. Just about 20 more minutes. Do you have it? Even if you don't, I'll give you. Put the inward voice. That's what Isaiah was explaining in Isaiah 30:21 when he said, you will hear a voice behind you.
When he said behind you, that was how Isaiah could explain it, because it was in the Old Testament. If Paul was to write it, Paul will say, you will hear a voice within you. Are you following me? Because now the Spirit lives within. So you will hear a voice within you that will say unto you, this is the way, walk in it. So, and it comes as thoughts. Can I hear God with my physical ear? Yeah, yes, I may touch that on Thursday if God allows me. But Thursday, I want to do more on visions, but then I may touch it. Thursday, I'll touch visions, I'll touch revelation, I'll touch dreams on Thursday. Don't miss Thursday. That's what I'm trying to say. So you will hear a voice within. So once you start praying, that's it. It will just begin to rise like a normal thought. Sometimes it can be crazy, but follow it. Pay attention to it. If you are not sure, stay more in prayer. It's better to be slower than God than to be faster than Him. Don't you think so? At least if you are following behind, you are still seeing Him. But the Hebrews will always say, Nonye buruchi yuzo. You don't understand it? Let's try to interpret it. If you are faster than your God, you go run tire. That's what it means. Okay, well, that's pidgin English. Let's try it in English language. If you are faster than your God, you go run tire. That's what. Go run tire. So, don't be fast. Don't be faster than God. Even if you are not sure, just pay attention. Let me tell you, it is not delay. If the delay is spent trying to be sure it is God, it's not delay. I don't know who needs to hear this. That's why if you are close to me, it's my national anthem. You cannot rush me. I hope you know. I'm that, but you can't rush me. If I'm not yet settled to do something, if you like, call me 2,000 times. I'm not going. I'll post you until I find that realization in my heart. And once I know God is leading me and I do it, I don't ever regret it. I will decide. I can't regret it. Now people come to beg for money. All these three people that pass try to beg. You know them now. Once they see a church, they come in. You know, the ministers can tell you, we see a lot. Sometimes after service, they just come behind and say, I'm passing through a lot. My great grandfather died 2 years ago. Do you know where my father died? Say, leave this matter. Sometimes when they come, you know, you think it's that story you are telling that I'm listening to. No, I'm not hearing what they're saying. I'm just checking my spirit map. Just checking my word with them, checking my word map. So that's watching the Holy Ghost. You can finish talking, I'll say, just go, nothing for you. Leadings. One came to my pastor's church some years ago and said that he was in prison for how many years, and this, that, that happened, that he belonged to a cult. Long story. End point is that he now repented from the kingdom of darkness, and in that kingdom, a big God now appeared to him in a dream and told him that this church is the main church. And this is the church that people need to join. And this church will lead people to heaven. You know, when you are mature with God, you are not excited at things like that. And so say, our church. You see, even the witch is confirming it. If I didn't even meet Rebbe, he met the assistant pastors and some of the workers and convinced them. They now went and started talking to Rebbe. Rebbe said, ignore that guy. I don't want to see him. Tell him to go. My dad is a very straightforward person. There's no telling to. I'm not going to see him. The way you guys see me like that, that's the way I'm learning. The place I'm learning from. I don't want to see him. Some of you have come now. Just daddy, somebody's sitting outside. Once you finish talking, I say, see, tell Pastor Kesa, Pastor Mara to dismiss him. You should go home. I won't see him. Well, sometimes you need to learn. Do you know they dismissed that guy? about 1 month after that, they began to hear his story. He had gone to another church, convinced them, told them the same story. The pastor bought it. He joined the church. About 1 or 2 weeks after that, gave to the members of the church and ran away. Do you understand? Lead the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's not always what it looks like on the outside. I'm not an excited person. You can't easily excite me. Some of you know that is, you want to pay for a property, and if you don't pay now, they are going to. They should not. Otherwise, you should take it. I'm not really moved by such things. Someone else should take it. If I don't have a deal, if I'm not settled, that's why you pay for a property. You park in the first day, wondering, why did I ever pay for this place? You can't rush me. All this. In fact, if you want to delay it more, tell me that somebody is about to pay now. You can't put that pressure on me because I want to hear what God says. Unless as you are talking, God is saying, yeah, do it. But when God is sounding like he's silent, I'm silent too. I have no words for you. I'm going to pray and get clearly. When there are cobwebs, like confusions in my, I'm going to wait to be sure that it is God. I won't guess. So let me say this year. This year, I will not guess. I will be sure. So that is the inward voice. That is another thing we call the inward perception. This one is still like the other ones, where you just perceive people. Abba. And God said I should talk about this because it's going to help many of you this year. Where you perceive people, you perceive things, you perceive. Next week, on Thursday, I'll talk about the zen of spirits and all that. But this is about inward perception. Where I'm just in a place, just see someone, and the guy has not done anything, the person has not done anything, but then you just perceive something about the person. What's that happen to you? I see people sometimes, they've not acted, but now this guy has a strange spirit. I may not know what it is, but that same way I perceive the call of God upon people. Like I meet someone, and sometimes person is living careless, like I just perceive in my heart, this one in my head, this is God's servant. He doesn't know. You know, in I think is that Acts 8, verse 23. I already showed you, we've touched on that Acts 8 this morning earlier. In verse 29. I showed you how that Philip heard a voice. That was the inward voice. In verse 23, this was how Peter, let me tell you a short background sort of this Peter's case. There was a man called Simon. Simon, you know him? Simon Bar Jesus. So, he was a big magician. You will see where it is play a role. I'm going to tell you something about this man today. His real name is Simon Magus. When I'm done with this teaching, you can go and browse who is Simon Magus. But I'll tell you who he is. So he was just a magician in town. And Philip came and began to, he had followership. So Philip began to work miracles and began to teach God's word. People began to get saved and began to listen to Philip, and then he lost his followership. And then he believed too. He said, oh, Philip, I believe you. I'm going to follow you. So the Bible said he was following Philip and was observing the miracles he was doing. Philip himself was deceived. In fact,
for more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.